Our first reading this morning is from Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 7. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. The day that Jesus said these words that we just read, that was a rough day in the life of Jesus. The great prophet John the Baptist, who'd been thrown into prison by King Herod, that day John the Baptist sent friends to ask Jesus, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? In other words, Jesus, are you really the Christ? And so Jesus could hear in the voices of these friends of John the Baptist, he could hear John's own despair. If you are the Christ, please, Jesus, why am I still locked up? So Jesus, feeling John's burden, addressed those who labor and are heavy laden. So, besides John the Baptist, who is it who labors and is heavy laden? Who is Jesus talking to here? In the year 2003, a movie was made of the life of Martin Luther, starring Joseph Fiennes. At one point early in the movie, Martin Luther, a priest and a professor in the German town of Wittenberg, is called to a horrific scene. The body of a boy, maybe 12 or 13 years old, is hanging by a noose wrapped around his neck. He's committed suicide. As his parents stand there wailing in terror and grief, it's up to Martin Luther to cut the rope, retrieve the boy's body, and take it to be prepared for burial. That's when it gets interesting. The keeper of the church cemetery refuses to bury the boy's body on the church grounds because he died by suicide. And the common belief was, therefore, he's condemned to hell. So Martin Luther digs the grave himself and buries the boy. And in the movie, as the townspeople stare over the cemetery fence, watching him dig, Martin Luther speaks to them. Is this child any more to blame for the despair that overtook him than an innocent man who was murdered in the woods by a robber? In other words, is depression or debilitating mental illness a cause for damnation? God's law, as well as man's, says, "You shall not murder." Yet when a despairing child murders himself, will God hold him accountable? Even closer to home for most of us, what about all the other commandments and laws God has given us that we've broken and continue to break? Will God hold us accountable? You know, quite a few years ago now, I remember a lively discussion at an elders' meeting about an epistle lesson from the beginning of Romans 7. It's the same epistle lesson that we read last week, actually. And that's where Paul appears to define divorce and remarriage as adultery. Well, like any church, we have plenty of people who've been divorced and remarried. So there was a concern expressed at the elders' meeting years ago that the Romans 7 passage might offend people. Well, we quickly decided we'd read the text and let the chips fall where they may, because we offend people all the time here at Christ the Vine. It's just part of what we do. But here's why I bring it up. If we read Scripture with open eyes, all of us come to the correct conclusion that we all break God's law repeatedly. All of us. We're sinners. We've coveted and hated and lusted and maybe committed adultery, and all of us have disregarded God, and many of us have paid a steep, steep price for it. And then some of us find ourselves in life situations that require so much of us that we wonder if we can do it, and we question our ability or desire even to go on. Our faith wavers, and we slip into despair, faithless despair. All of us have had moments like that. And maybe the most burdensome aspect of our own weak and sinful condition is that it seems so, so difficult to break free from it, whether it's despair or something else. You and I seem to struggle with the same things over and over and over. St. Paul knew the feeling. He was talking about his own personal struggle with sin when he said in Romans 7, as Clayton read today, Romans 7, verse 18, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And then he goes on. I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want to do. That's what I keep on doing. Paul was like us. He knew God commanded him to love, but he struggled with hatred. He was called to be humble, but he struggled with arrogance. He meant to be selfless, but often struggled with selfishness. He committed himself to be faithful, but even he struggled with faithlessness. O wretched man that I am, he said, who will save me from this body of death? You know what was happening here with Paul? The law was doing what it's supposed to do. It was driving Paul into the arms of Jesus. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, said Paul. He will save me. Here's the really good news. It's people like St. Paul and people like you and me that Jesus was referring to in Matthew 11, verse 28, when he said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, with guilt and despair, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He's talking to us who struggle with sin, including faithlessness and doubt. He's talking to us who are overwhelmed with our situations. He's especially talking to those who question God's love for them and question their own salvation, or the salvation of those they love. Maybe you struggle with that. He's talking about God's forgiveness and mercy toward you. He's talking to you. Your struggle with sin and doubt is not unique. It's common to all those who are called by Christ. In fact, it's because of your sin that Jesus came. Reformation theologian R.C. Sproul wrote, "The helplessness of man when it comes to sin and the sovereignty of God when it comes to grace, God's forgiveness and acceptance of us who are sinful." To Luther and Calvin, the great reformers, these ideas were the very lifeblood of the Christian faith. You know, in that Martin Luther movie, as he's burying the boy who hung himself, Luther turns to the weeping parents and said, God must be mercy. And then as he lays the boy's body in his grave and makes the sign of the cross over him, He says to himself more than to anyone else, God is mercy. Those who see God as angry do not see him rightly, Luther said. To see God in faith is to look upon a friendly heart. So when the devil throws your sins in your face and tells you that you deserve death and hell, tell him this: I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Where he is, I shall be also. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love and compassion and mercy that we don't even comprehend. But Lord, give us enough understanding to be filled with gratitude for what you have done for us. And because we are filled with gratitude, cause us also to be filled with humility and kindness and love for one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.